The gospel today is from John chapter 4, verses 21 through 30. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will show us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but none said, "What do you wish?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the city and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the city and were coming to him.
This passage is part of a longer story. Jesus and his disciples were journeying from Judea to Galilee. In order to get there, they had to pass through the land of Samaria. Now, after Solomon, Israel separated into two parts. Remember King David and his son Solomon, Solomon the Wise? Solomon was the last king of a united Israel. Separated into two parts. The northern part became Samaria, and the southern part was called Judea. They worshiped, even though they came out of the same rootage, they worshiped differently, both claiming to be right in their worship. That started a long time ago, didn't it? The two areas weren't at war, but they were at enmity with each other. Think of our own nation's history. Think of the North and the South. How after the war there remained an animus. Think if that animus had lasted 700 years. That would have been Jesus' time after the original. Wow. So all of this goes into this story that's being told. The disciples and Jesus were tired and they were hungry. And Jesus sent his disciples to find food. And while they were gone, he went to a well. In their own national heritage, this was known as Jacob's Well. It's where Jacob had actually built an altar there at one time. Jesus went to the well and he saw that there was a woman there drawing water in the heat of the day. This must have been curious because all of the women of the town would have come early in the morning to draw water while it was still cool and they could haul their water back home. But this woman was there in the heat of the day by herself drawing water. That must have been a bit curious. And Jesus asked the woman for a drink. She said, "How is it you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" That would have been a good question in that time. For you see, a good Jewish man would not have talked to a woman, period, other than his wife out like that. And he certainly would not have talked to a woman of Samaria. That would have been unclean of him to do. Moreover, as the story goes forth, Jesus reminds the woman of her own past and how not she is not just a woman of Samaria. She has the worst reputation in town. And here is Jesus. He should know better, shouldn't he? He's talking to a woman. He's talking to a Samaritan woman. And he's talking to a Samaritan woman of ill repute. But the story gets even better. When he asked her for a drink, and she asked, "How is it that you asked me for a drink?" And he said, "If you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water." And she said, Are you greater than our forefather Jacob? And what is this living water?" Listen to this. I'm gonna read another part of that passage. It's one of my favorite parts. Let's see. "The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle?' Jesus said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water I shall bring will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst or come here to draw.'" And then Jesus, he was testing her in current terms. He was just messing with her, okay? He said, "Go call your husband and come here." And she said, "I have no husband." He said, "You speak truthfully. The man you live with is not your husband, and you have had five husbands before. You said truly to me." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And then the passage of this morning. The time is coming. We're neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. But those who worship God must worship in spirit. For God is spirit. Picture this: Jesus, hot, tired, thirsty, hungry, talking to a Samaritan woman of ill repute in the blazing noonday sun. And it was to that woman that Jesus made the most important announcement, and for the first time, that had ever been made on planet Earth. She said, "We hear a Messiah is coming." And he said, "I who speak to you am he." Wow. And then he told her, in so many words, "Your religion must change because you don't understand the nature of God." But he was telling not only her, he was telling the people that worshipped at that mountain and also those who worshipped at the temple in Jerusalem. And how did he explain it to her that she did not understand the nature of God? What word did she use to describe God? Did she use one of the words of the early psalmist, "God is a warrior God, a man of battle"? Did she use those words? No. God is spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean? For millennia, humanity has tried to make God in our own image or an image that suits our purpose. Through the millennia, you can see different representation of gods from the Greco-Roman mythology all back to the ancient Sumerians all the way up to the current time. God is pictured in one way or another. And what Jesus is telling her is that you can't picture God. God is spirit. God is the spirit who brings life, depth, meaning, and purpose to all of creation. God is the spirit who grants us freedom and yet provides guidance or wisdom. When we talk about that still small voice, that small voice perhaps of conscience, can that not be God's Spirit easily nudging us, not forcing us, but nudging us into a new direction. And God is the Spirit, because Jesus exemplified this. God is the Spirit who always draws us closer together. He was talking particularly to the Jews and the Samaritans, but it could have been easily any two groups who were at enmity with one another. And Jesus, somehow, in some mysterious way, is the human manifestation. We call it the incarnation of the Spirit that is God. And then the woman told Jesus, I know that Messiah is coming. How did she know that? How did she know that? God's Spirit was working among the people, telling them to seek something new, that there was something happening and to happen in the future. So Jesus told her, I who speak to you am He. And perhaps the most important part of the passage is what happens next. Okay, think of this woman in the context of her town. She was that woman. She was talked about by the rest of the town. No woman of good repute would dare go to the well while she was there. And no woman of good repute better catch a man talking with this woman, or both of them could be stoned. So what happens next? This woman of ill repute returned home and told everyone there about Jesus. And what did they do? Miracle of miracles, they listened to her. They not only listened to her, they followed her back. Listen, I talked to a man who told me everything I ever did, and I think this is the Messiah. Could you imagine their response might have been, oh, you are just as crazy as usual. But instead of that, they followed her back to where Jesus was. And they went out to see Him, is the last of this passage. That is one of the greatest miracles, even though it's not called such in the New Testament, isn't it? So what is the punchline to this story? Jesus changes lives. It's that simple. The second lesson is that others should be drawn to Christ by seeing Jesus in your life. That's what happened to the woman. That's the great change that happened. The next time you're talking with someone and you're becoming impatient and you're right on that very edge of saying something unkind, think about this passage. That woman changed the lives of those in her town, regardless of her reputation before, by telling them about Jesus and inviting them. Others should be drawn to Christ by seeing Jesus in our lives. What are we waiting for? Get out there and tell the story. Use words if you have to. Amen.